Today we're building a Think Jungle Pad arrangement in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the way it actually helps a drum and bass track move. Not just a pretty chord sitting in the background, but a pad that creates tension, opens space, and makes the drop hit harder because it knows when to back off. The big idea here is function. In DNB, your pad can be mood, suspense, transition, or relief. So instead of asking, what does it sound like? Start asking, what job is it doing in this 8-bar section? That mindset changes everything. Let's start with the harmony. Open up a short 4-bar MIDI clip and keep it simple. For jungle-flavored DNB, minor keys work beautifully, especially with modal movement like I to flat Roman 7 to flat VI to flat Roman 7 or I to Roman 4 to flat Roman 7 to I. You want something that loops well and evolves without overcrowding the groove. If you're in F minor, for example, F minor 9, E flat major 7, D flat add 9, back to E-flat gives you that classic melancholy jungle feel without getting too sentimental. Now here's the important part. Voice your chords like you care about the drums. Don't stack them too tightly in the low mids. Keep the root controlled, and spread the notes mostly between about C2 and C5, depending on the key. The kick, snare, and sub need room to breathe. If the harmony gets muddy here, the answer is often fewer notes, not more processing. Next, build the sound in Ableton using stock devices. Waveatable is a strong choice, but analog works too if you want a more old-school texture. A solid starting chain is Waveatable, then EQ8, then Chorus Ensemble or Phaser Flanger, then Saturator, then Reverb, then Utility. For the synth, choose a saw-based or slightly hollow Waveatable. Keep unison modest, like 2-4 voices max, so it stays clear. Use a slower attack, maybe around 30-80 milliseconds, so the front edge softens. And set the release somewhere between 1.5 and 4 seconds so it can breathe like a real pad. A little Waveatable movement goes a long way, so if you can lightly modulate the Waveatable position with an LFO or envelope, do it. That tiny bit of drift helps the pad feel alive instead of frozen. Now shape the tone with EQ8. First move, high pass it. Usually somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz is a good zone, depending on how thick the patch is. That gets it out of the sub and kick territory. If it gets cloudy, cut a bit around 200 to 400 Hz. If the snare or hats are getting masked, tame a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if it needs a touch more presence, a gentle wide boost around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help it speak without getting in the way. After EQ, add width with utility, but use it with intention. In breakdowns, you can push the width wider, maybe 120 to 160%. In drops, bring it back tighter if you want more focus. Just remember, stereo width is not a substitute for cleaning up the low end. Keep the lows removed first, then widen the top. Now let's add movement, because a static pad can feel too safe for jungle and DNB. A little modulation makes it feel like atmosphere instead of wallpaper. Chorus Ensemble with a slow rate and a subtle mix can add a lovely drift. Phaser Flanger can work too, but keep it light. Auto Filter is especially useful here, because it lets you automate the emotional opening and closing of the sound across the arrangement. A really good workflow move is to put your important controls onto macros if you're using an instrument rack. Map filter cutoff to one macro, reverb amount to another, and width or chorus depth to a third. That way, you can shape the pad quickly to cross sections without diving through every device every time. In practice, that makes arrangement way faster. And now we get to the real sauce, arrangement. A jungle pad should not stay the same the whole track. Think in sections. In the intro, keep it filtered and distant. Let it suggest harmony without revealing everything. In the build, open it up a bit. Add movement, maybe even bring in a higher octave layer. In the breakdown, let it go wide and emotional with longer reverb and fuller sustain. Then in the drop, pull it back hard. Shorten it, filter it, or remove it entirely so the drums and bass have maximum impact. That contrast is what makes the drop feel bigger. If the listener has something to miss, the drop lands harder. A strong move here is to duplicate your MIDI clip and create a few versions. Make one with long-held chords. Make another with chopped half-bar hits. Make one where the top note changes every 2 bars. Make one that's just a simple diad or open fifth. You're not rewriting the track. You're changing the pad's role as the track progresses. Here's a simple arrangement mindset you can use. Bars 1 to 8, filtered pad with the break intro. Bars 9 to 16, the pad opens a little while ghost notes and drum details come in. Bars 17 to 24, bass teasing begins and the pad stays tucked but active. Bars 25 to 32, the breakdown opens fully. Bars 33 to 48, The drop comes in and the pad is mostly gone except maybe for short atmosphere tails. Bar is 49 to 56. The pad returns as a switch up with a different octave or inversion. That's how you make it feel like a track instead of a loop. Now let's make the pad interact properly with the drums and bass. In D and B, this is everything. Sidechain the pad lightly to the kick or drum bus with compressor. You're not trying to pump it aggressively unless that's the vibe. Just a gentle 1 to 3 decibels of gain reduction can make the pad breathe with the groove. Set the attack and release so it fits the beat naturally. If the snare loses impact, that's a red flag. Shorten the pad release, lower the level, or reduce a little in the upper mids. If the bass line is heavy, keep the low cut strict, and avoid letting the pad live in that 150 to 300 Hz zone where everything gets cloudy fast. Again, the drums and bass need ownership of the core impact zones. The pad supports the emotional arc, not the low-end war. A really useful advanced tip is to think slower than the beat. If the drums are busy, let the pad change more slowly. Long harmonic movement reads as depth. Fast changes can crowd the groove. And if the mix gets muddy, don't only reach for EQ. Check the MIDI voicing too. Sometimes the problem is simply too many notes. Once you've got a solid pad, resample it. This is a classic jungle and modern DNB move because it turns a polished synth into something with identity. Solo the pad, record a few bars of the automation to audio, and then you can reverse tails, chop sections, or warp it to create transition material. You can even slice it into a drum rack if you want one-shot pad hits for fills or breakdown details. This is where the pad starts becoming arrangement glue in a new way. A reverse tail before a fill, a chopped fragment before a snare hit, a delayed echo between sections. Those little things make the track feel intentional and alive. Now automate your transitions. Open the filter over 8 or 16 bars. Increase reverb going into a breakdown, then pull it back before the drop. Widen the stereo image in emotional sections, then narrow it when the drums come back heavy. You can even automate saturator drive up slightly before a switch up to make the pad feel a little more dangerous. One super effective trick, cut the pad sharply right before the drop, or leave a final bar with almost no pad at all. That bit of silence can hit harder than keeping the atmosphere running constantly. In jungle and D&B, negative space is part of the drama. If you want a darker, heavier feel, make the pad less pretty over time. Narrow it, darken it, add a touch of grit, then release it fully in the breakdown. If you want a more cinematic intro, layer some noise underneath, high pass it, and fade it in gradually. If you want extra haunted energy, use slight pitch drift, a short pre-delay on the reverb, and subtle chorus to tune. Tiny moves, big vibe. So as you work, keep this checklist in your head. Is the pad supporting the harmony without fighting the sub? Is it leaving space for the snare? Is it changing role across the arrangement? Is it helping the track feel bigger by disappearing at the right moments? That's the whole game. For your practice, build a 64-bar sketch at around 170 BPM. Use one chord progression, but make three versions of the pad: intro, breakdown, and drop support. Automate at least two parameters across the track, like filter cutoff, reverb send, width, or saturation drive. Resample one section and turn it into a reverse swell or a chop transition hit. And check the whole thing in mono once, because if the arrangement falls apart there, the stereo image is carrying too much weight. If you do this right, the pad won't just sit behind the drums. It'll guide the listener through the track. It'll tease, reveal, withdraw, and return. That's what makes a D&B arrangement feel finished. And honestly, that's the magic here. A great jungle pad doesn't just sound good. It knows when to show up and when to disappear.